All right, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to get excited because we're excited, we're attentive, we're ready to hear from the Lord. So yes. Okay. So we're going to awkwardly clap because we're excited. Before we get into God's word, I want to share something with you. This is kind of a little bit of a plug, but a little bit of something that I want you to understand that's happening here in the high desert. I go into two schools on a regular basis, on a weekly basis. I go into Oak Hills High School and I go into Hesperia High School. So I don't know if any of you guys go to either of those schools, but I go into there. I go and be a part of the Christian club. And so Oak Hills is on Tuesday. If you go to Oak Hills, it's room C11. We'd love to see you there. Or if you come and find me, if you're like, I don't want to go to Christian club because I'm too cool or you have other reasons, that's okay. I will be sad, but at least come and say hi to me. Love to get to know you a little bit better and see you on your school, see you on your campsite. Campus and site. I combine them together, campsite. But anyway, I'd like to see you guys there and kind of make an effort to get to know you guys. Hesperia High, we're in room E10. So C11, Oak Hills, E10, Hesperia High. And today I went into Hesperia High, and we have an outreach that's planned at Hesperia High on October 24th, where we're going to bring in free pizza. So I'm going to buy this pizza, and we're going to bring it in and give it to the students, welcome them in, and we're going to share the gospel and give an altar call. And so we were out at the school today, the Christian Club and myself, we went out and we passed out flyers. Instead, it just says free pizza hosted by Christian Club. And so as I'm passing out these flyers, this adult comes up to me. She happens to be the vice principal. And she goes, who do you think you are? And I was like, I'm Daniel. I have a name tag. And she goes, I see that you have a name tag, but I'm trying to figure out how you got in. And I was like, well, I went in and I talked to a teacher and we got the flyer approved and it's got a stamp on it so that way you can see that it's approved, and told her the whole spiel, and she was very upset and I can't believe you're doing this, and she had really no authority to do anything and she backed off. But it's just this weird little spiritual thing that happened. And so I'm really excited because I'm like, okay, Lord, if that's the kind of resistance we're getting, I know God is preparing and gearing up to do a really great work. And so we got flyers in the hands of tons of people. I got to talk to the kids already and share the gospel with them. And so I'm excited for this. So if you're a part of Hesperia High, come out. If you're a part of Oak Hills, we want to do the same thing there. But we just don't have as much plan for there right now. And if you go to other schools, I'm totally open to go to any school, because really my heart in this is we want to take over the campus. We want the gospel to come to such a place that it reaches every single student. I mean, the cool thing about high school, like a high school campus, is you can't leave. And so if we share the gospel and we're welcomed onto the campus, then guess what? They will hear it no matter what. I don't know if they'll submit to it. I don't know if God will do a work, but I know they will hear it. So that's kind of my plug to you guys. I'd love to come to your school, Sultana, Apple High, Adelanto. I really don't care where you go. I'd love to be there. So James chapter 1, we're going to look at two verses tonight, 19 through 20. If you look in the back, we have an Instagram. This Instagram, we're trying to do a little bit better at getting you some information on this Instagram. So today I posted a video that said, hey, welcome back to youth group. We didn't have it last week. And I told you, hey, we're going to jump back into the book of James. And then I also told you that guess what? We're going to answer the questions you've been asking over the past several weeks. So shorter teaching tonight with some questions being answered. So really excited for that. But James chapter 1, we'll start in verse 19. If you're taking note, the title of my message is The Directed Believer. The Directed Believer. So James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. Someone say, the Bible says. The Bible says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for this evening. Lord, I thank you so much that you've allowed high schoolers to come into this place. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege every week that we can come and open up your word with the confidence and the assurance that, Lord, you show up as we open your word, with the confidence and the assurance that we will hear from you, with the confidence and the assurance that you will minister to us, if only we would humble ourselves, if only we would allow ourselves to open our eyes and to open up our ears and to open up our minds so that way we can receive from you the things that you're trying to speak to us. Lord, we know you are here and we know you are speaking, but Lord, the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we listening? And so Lord, I pray that you would help myself, the leaders, the students, listen to the things that you're trying to speak to us. And that Lord, we would not, as we're gonna see in these future weeks, we would not be only hearers of your word, but Lord, we would also be doers, that we would apply it to our lives. And so Lord, I pray that tonight you would make us more like you, that we would have hearts like Jesus as we leave this place. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Awesome. Have you guys ever followed directions? Yes, one of you. That's awesome. One of you has followed directions. I mean, I followed directions. I mean, I think of a direction or a set of directions that I followed a few times. Number one, preheat the oven to 375. Number two, mix together the two sugars. Number three, mix the softened butter into the sugar. Number four, mix the eggs in one at a time. It's directions, right? All of us at one time or another have been given directions. There's directions to things. There's directions to things that we want to do and be about. But directions are no good unless they're followed. I gave you a recipe to some cookies that I like to make that I've made all of two times in my life, but I still like to make them. That's okay that I've only made them twice. But you can participate. Like, it's okay. This is the beginning of the teaching. You can't fall asleep yet. So let's wake up. Okay. I have made these cookies twice. You're like, now I'm interested. But I've made these cookies twice. But I followed the recipe, I followed the directions. But what about when the directions are wrong? What about when we get wrong directions? I read of a story earlier in the year where there was wrong directions. And I'm gonna read to you from this news article. According to Field Coast News, this lady, her name is Tara. Tara lent her Jeep to three friends from Connecticut who were doing some sightseeing in Vermont, or in the Vermont town of Burlington. They used the Waze app to figure out how to get around. Waze uses turn-by-turn GPS directions combined with user reports for accidents, traffic jams, and speed traps to offer up the most efficient route from point A to point B. That sounds like an advertisement to me, but that's just me. Anyway, her friends, the article goes on, her friends say the app directed her friends to turn onto a boat launch near the U.S. Coast Guard station. Apparently, it was dark and foggy, and the three friends wound up driving 100 feet into the lake before they realized they'd made a terrible mistake. Goes on. Burlington Police Chief Brandon Del Pozo, Officer Pozo, anyway. These are the things that go through my head when I read these things. But anyway, Burlington Police Chief Brandon Del Pozo confirmed that the driver was not intoxicated. That's important to know. The officer at the scene, Officer Hartnett, said the driver willingly consented to multiple field sobriety exercises and passed with no problem. The driver said there was a heavy fog and slight rain at the time of the incident and that the boat launch was poorly lit. Now, I found that very funny because I find it funny that a police officer shows up onto the scene, gets a phone call. Hey, you need to go. There's a car in the middle of the lake. Okay, shows up and goes, okay, did this car swerve off the road? Am I gonna come to the scene of like a catastrophic or traumatic accident? Gets there and the car's just sitting there and there's some ladies sitting over there on the shore. And so he gets there and he realizes that they just drive straight into the water. I mean, is that not funny to you? I mean, that's funny to me because you drive straight into the water because they were given directions to drive into the water. Turn left here and go into the water. I don't know if you've seen the show The Office, but there's a moment in The Office where they do the same thing, okay? And so this police officer then comes to the conclusion that only someone who's intoxicated would do such a thing. And so he goes, who is the driver? And he goes with this lady, I'm the driver. And so she willingly goes through multiple sobriety tests. Hey, you know, walk in straight line. Okay, you did that. Okay. Do a breathalyzer. Okay, you passed that. Say A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay, you did that. Okay, do it backwards. Okay, you did that. Okay, count to 100. Okay, you did. Multiple times, not intoxicated. She was given the wrong directions. I thought that was funny because the wrong directions, no good. But anyway, for us as believers, we don't have the wrong directions. For us as believers, we know that God's word, in a sense, are the directions for our life. That if we need directions, if we need some sort of direction for our life, or we need a step-by-step process, or we need something to tell us and guide us, we know that God's word is that for us. The Bible even says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. So we know that God has provided directions for us, and they're not directions that are going to lead us into the middle of a lake. The directions that are going to lead to a life of godliness. And James has even spent time in this letter so far showing us that God gave us new life through this word. Look at verse 18. We're going to jump back down for a second. Verse 18 says, of his own will, he brought us forth by what? The word of truth. Of God's own will, he brought us forth through this word of truth. We were begotten by the word of truth. We know that even this word of truth, as we were begotten by the word of truth, the Bible tells us that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that flesh, that person, that word is Jesus. The way we come to salvation is through the word. The way we get new life is through Jesus. The word became flesh. But then notice in verse 21, so we jump down, but now jump back up. Verse 21 says this, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. The implanted word. You see, we need to receive this word, which has the power to save your soul, which has given you new life. For me, as I'm studying through this, I believe God has a special message for us. I believe we need to be attentive to something here. I believe there's something here that God wants to share with his high school group, with this specific high school group. And so this is what I believe God wants us to hear. If God's word gives me life and saves my soul, then it must also direct my life and direct my soul. You see, verse 18, he saves my life. He gives me new life. Verse 21, it has the power to save my soul. So if God's word saves my life, if it saves my soul, then it must also direct my life and direct my soul. You see, in our text this evening, James shows us how to have a life directed by God's word. I don't know if you've ever wondered, how do I have a life that's directed by God's word? How do I have it to where God's word directs my life or guides my life? You know, I hear Daniel, or I hear the church, or I hear pastors, or I hear Christians say, God's word is everything. It's life. It's living. It's the living, breathing word of God. I know you've heard all of these things as churched people. And maybe for you, like, I've never had that experience where God's word can direct me. But I believe that God wants his word to direct you. And I believe James shows us that. It's kind of like this. If actors in a play need to be directed by a director, if students in the school need to be directed by a teacher, if players on the field need to be directed by a coach, believers in Jesus need to be directed by God's word. That's where we're at in life. You see, the problem with society right now is the society likes to preach and share with you, you're your own person. You're your own authority. This is not my president. I'm not going to listen to this teacher. How dare this teacher question me, or how dare a parent tell me, or how dare someone tell me which gender I am? But the believer in Jesus recognizes that my life has to have direction just like a player on a field or an actor in a play or a student in a school. I have to be directed by God's word. Tonight, I want to show you two things quickly so we can answer some questions, but two actions that will help you be directed by God's word. Two actions we see here within the text. Number one, hear. If you're writing and taking note, hear. Notice what the Bible says. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Let every man be swift to hear. You see, the first action that helps us be directed by God's word is hearing God's word. The Bible even backs this up. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The directed believer hears God's word. If you want to be a believer that's directed, You will be one that's directed when you hear God's word. I think we need to understand what it means to hear God's word though. You see, the Bible tells us we need to be swift to hear. So it's not just, hey, hear God's word. No, James makes it very clear. God's word makes it very clear. You need to be swift to hear God's word. You need to be swift to hear. Now this word swift, it means this, quick or speedy. The idea is not this. I want to be clear of this. The idea is not you listen quickly. It's not like your friend's like, hey, I need to tell you something. Like, okay, you want to tell me? You need to tell me really fast because I need to listen swiftly. So you have 10 seconds, go. That's just awkward and weird. So the Bible's not saying listen quickly. Okay, I think you know that. But God's word is clear. Instead, James is instructing us to be prepared to listen. You know, the person who is quick to hear is the person who is prepared to hear. You see, growing up, I understood what this meant because growing up, I had an older brother. And my older brother would take a tennis ball and he'd put it in his hand. My brother was 16 and I was 8. So he's a little older than me, a little stronger than me, a little bigger than me. It's life. But you take this tennis ball, get it in his hand. And when I wasn't looking, he would throw it at me. And you know what he would say? Think fast. That's what he would say. He'd say, think fast. I don't know if you've done that to your brothers and sisters, but that was mean. This is how I got that scar. No, I'm just kidding. But what I realized is if I was speedy, if I was quick, if I was swift, I would be prepared to catch that throw that he threw at me, that ball that he threw at me. But if I wasn't prepared, I'd get smacked in the head by a tennis ball. Many times I was smacked in the head. But in the same way, this is what James is saying. James is telling all believers, you need to be swift to hear. What he's saying is you need to be prepared. You need to be ready. You need to, you know, hasten the day, if you will. Because ultimately what happens is there should be a readiness and a prepared heart and ear for the Lord to speak. There should be even this. I would challenge you, as you come to youth group, there should be the reality of, I need to prepare my heart. I need to prepare my ears. I need to be quick to listen or swift to hear. It's not, you know, God's going to speak really fast. And if I don't listen really quickly, I'm going to miss it. No, it's prepare. Be ready. Be diligent to prepare yourself. Be swift to hear. You see, because the reality that we need to accept and believe in faith is this: God is speaking, but are you listening? Every single Wednesday night, God is speaking. Whether my teaching is the worst teaching in the world or whether it's the best in the world, God is speaking. God is here. God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to communicate to you, and he wants you to communicate back. God is speaking, but are you listening? Are you in such a place that you are swift to hear? Are you ready for it? You see, so many times we wonder why God hasn't spoken to us, why God hasn't answered a prayer. It's not that he hasn't spoken, it's that we failed to listen. That's what James is saying here. He's saying, be swift to hear. You know, God's word has done such a work. It's given you newness of life. And then right after this text that we're going to study next week, it shows us in verse 21. Notice what it says in verse 21. Lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. It's not that he hasn't spoken. It's that we failed to listen. We failed to prepare our hearts to hear what he's saying. What I want to show you is I want to give you some practical things. How can we be prepared to hear? If God is always speaking, if God is always willing to speak, how can we hear? How can we prepare ourselves? How can we be swift? Here's several rapid fire things. Open your Bible daily. You want to be ready to hear? Open your Bible daily. Memorize scripture regularly. There's so many times that the scriptures that I've memorized in my life, God has spoken to me through them years later. Years later, I'm sitting there, and because I've hidden it in my heart that I might not sin against him, which is a scripture that I've memorized, God has used it later in my life to do what? Speak to me so I can hear. Pray and ask the Lord to speak to you. Take the headphones out. Sit silently in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, be still and know that he is God. Bring your Bible to church. Open it up. Underline things. Highlight things. Take notes. Those are the things that we have to do in order to be swift here. I don't know why God's not speaking, because you don't open up your Bible. I don't know why I don't get anything out of teachings, because you don't even have a Bible in your lap. I don't know why God's not answering my prayers, because you're not even lifting prayers up to him. And it's really practical. Bring your Bible to church. Open it up. Participate in worship. Talk to other believers about your life and your struggles and allow God to use those in your life to speak to you. God is speaking, but are you listening? Something that I was challenged with this week. All these things will help us be swift hearers. Second action that will help us be directed by God's word. Number two, slow down. Slow down. Look at verse 19 again. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I want to point out this to you. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. This slow word, when you take it back to the original language, I did an extensive study on it. It means slow. I wasted time on that. I was really bummed. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a great word. And I'm like, at the end of the day, it means slow. Great. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. But this slow, what it means, it's a thoughtful evaluation. When he says be slow to speak and slow to wrath, it means before you open your mouth, there's a thought behind what's being said. Before you get angry, there's thought and intention behind it. So that way you're not just angry so quickly. You're slow about it. You're meek. You hold back. It's even not only a thoughtful evaluation, but it's a hesitancy. It's kind of that idea of like, even when someone invites you to open your mouth, you're like, okay, now let me open my mouth. And maybe they're like, that's just awkward. And that's just like socially awkward to wait that long. But really, that's what James is saying here. That there should be a hesitancy. There should be a thoughtful evaluation before you open your mouth. You see, so many times we're quick to speak and we grow angry before listening. I can tell you a time in my life, actually multiple times, this is a sin in my life that happens to me, not on a daily basis, but on a regular basis enough. And that's the sin of driving, okay? I am not slow to speak and I am not slow to wrath when it comes to driving, okay? I'm not like a rageaholic or something. I'm not like, man, I'm running people off the road or something. But there are so many times in my life where I'm getting on a freeway, and I don't know if they've taught you this, but I'm gonna teach you right now practical words of wisdom that are not in the Bible because there was no cars in the Bible. But when you get on a freeway, you get up to speed with the flow of traffic. You don't get on the freeway at 25 miles per hour so you get run over. And so oftentimes when I'm getting on the freeway, you know what happens? The person gets on at 25 miles per hour when there's people flying by me at 80 and I freak out, and you know what I say? Because I'm not slow to speak or slow to wrath, I say, you moron. That's what I say every time. And Kaylee's like, just relax. I'm relaxed. You moron. You're going to make us, oh, this is what she knows. I'm going to say, we're going to get into an accident because I'm going to get plowed into because you did. And then, not slow to speak, not slow to wrath. But many times, it's a dumb, funny story. But anyway, many times we fail to be directed by the Lord because we're too busy talking. And I don't mean like you're in the middle of a Bible study and you're like, you're talking to your friend. I mean, we're too busy talking, venting, telling the Lord of all the things that are wrong with us, or talking to other people, or, you know, spending time doing whatever it takes to talk it out, gossip, whatever it is. Too busy talking, too busy being angry, and we miss it. So how do we slow down? Here's the deal. Instead of being busy talking, we get busy listening. Instead of being busy in anger, we get busy listening. You see, what James is trying to point out here, and this is just there's so much that we could get into this, but I want to be faithful and answer questions. But what James is saying here is this: the directed believer, the believer who's directed by the Lord, does not have time to talk. The believer who's directed by Jesus and directed by the word of God, he doesn't have time to be angry. The directed believer is too busy listening to the Lord for him to be angry or to talk. You want to know why? Because a readiness to listen, like we saw in the last point, leads to a hesitancy to speak. When you're so ready to listen to the Lord and you're so busy listening to him and searching scriptures and praying and being silent before him and talking to others and going, hey, can you speak to me or can you talk to me? Because here's a problem in my life and I believe you're a wise enough person that you can share God's word with me so that way I can hear from the Lord in this. When you're so busy trying to hear from the Lord, when you're so busy trying to develop that relationship with him, you've got no time. You got no time to gossip. You got no time to be angry with anyone. You got no time for that because you're like, I'm here with Jesus. I'm spending time with him. I'm growing with him. A readiness to listen leads to a hesitancy to speak. Look at verse 20 again. It gives a reason for this. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I don't know what you see when you turn on the news or the TV or when you talk amongst your friends or when you go to school, but there are so many angry people in this world. There are angry men, bitter, frustrated, weary, done, angry and upset. But notice what the Bible says. Wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We've got to understand as believers that our wrath, our anger, our bitterness will never produce God's righteousness. We will never be directed by God's word if we give into that anger. We'll never be directed by God's word if we're busy, so busy talking that we can't hear God. There's been times in my life where I've been angry because I'm a passionate person. I'm not an angry person. I'm a passionate person. That's what I tell myself. It's the way I justify it. But there's been times where I've been angry, not really angry at Kaylee, but Kaylee feels the anger because I'm just talking and not yelling at her, but just frustrated at things. And what happens is she's trying to interject. She's trying to talk. She's trying to encourage me. She's trying to say, hey, slow down for a second and listen. And I just keep talking. I keep venting. I keep being frustrated and I talk over her. And so I talk and I'm so busy talking, I'm so busy being angry that I don't let her speak. In the same way, we fail to let God speak because we don't slow down and we don't listen. That verse that I shared earlier, be still and know that I am God, this generation does not know how to be still. This generation does not know how to turn off the music or the TV or the Netflix or the Xbox. I mean, we have video games that come with us everywhere now. We've got cell phones that are always there, you know, when we're waiting somewhere. We have no understanding, no practice, no discipline of just being still and going, Lord, I'm here to listen to you and I won't open my mouth and I'll be slow to anger. We've got to learn to discipline ourselves to do that. And that's what James is saying here. There's some practical wisdom within these verses that have to do with others. In the same way that we fail God, we fail to let God speak because we don't slow down to listen or we don't slow down in our anger, is the same way we fail to hear others around us. There's a lot of practical application within that. That when you're in your family and you're in your home and you have mom and dad, and mom and dad have that classic moment where they're trying to talk to you, but you want to talk over them. They're trying to instruct you or direct you. They're trying to just be mom and dad in your life, and you don't want to listen to them, and you blow them off, and you sin against them, and you do whatever you want, and it goes in one ear and out the other. What does the Bible say? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. But how many times did mom and dad come into your room, and they say, you got the D, your report card or your progress report is bad, no phone, no Xbox. That's not my fault. The teacher doesn't like me. It's hard and I'm trying. No. What's the Bible say? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You see, that's the other problem with society. Society's teaching us and teaching you that it's not your fault. And so what happens is you're trying to justify why it's not your fault. And I want everyone to know why it's not my fault. But what God's trying to do through your parents coming to you and saying this is wrong, is God's trying to speak to you and go, hey, this is wrong. This is on you. You're responsible for your grades. You see, so God's even trying to speak to you, even in those relationships and those times when you don't want to listen to your parents or your friend or your leader or whoever it is that God is using in your life. Maybe you sit through teachings and you go, I don't want to listen to the teaching. I don't want to hear this. This isn't for me. God's trying to speak and you're not slowing down to listen. As we close, I want to ask you, what is it that is directing your life? The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. You see, He shall direct your paths. You know, so I don't know if you came in as a believer tonight. I don't know if you came in as someone who's fallen away from the Lord. I don't know if you've come in and gone, I'm a skeptic. I don't know if you come in and go, I came in because mom and dad make me be here. But I want you to know something. Did you know that as God has brought you here tonight, even if you're trying not to listen to him, he's speaking to you? That even if you're trying to push him away, he's brought you here for a purpose. And so what I don't want you to do is this. I don't want you to harden your hearts. You see, there's a man in the Bible whose heart was hardened. His name was Pharaoh. And what happened was God had a plan. And God had Moses go and say, Pharaoh, let my people go. And he said, no. And God hardened his heart. And that happened time after time after time until Pharaoh basically lost everything. His heart was so hardened, he just gave up. He lost his son to death, to a plague. His time was up. And my fear, as a pastor, my fear as a fellow believer, my fear as someone who loves you deeply, is that you come in time after time after time, and God is speaking, and God is telling you, and God is speaking, and you keep hardening your heart, and you grow numb. And one day your time's gonna be up. One day you're gonna face the reality of death. None of us are gonna live for forever, except for an eternity with Jesus if we put our faith and trust in him. But even beyond that, beyond the grave, your time's gonna come up in high school. You know how many times I talk to seniors in high school who I share the gospel with and share Jesus with for 4 years of their life, and they ignore and they mock and they joke and they fail to listen. And then you know what it is that summer when they're getting ready to leave and they realize their time is up. It's over. High school ministry is gone. It was wasted. God wants to speak to you. Don't waste it. Don't miss it. He's done a work through his word in salvation if you trusted in him, and he has the power to save your soul if you haven't trusted in him. And so if you haven't trusted in him, this is the night you need to do it. This is the night that you're done. It's time to be done with just coming and sitting and not worrying about, you know, I've got next week, or I'll get this serious, or I've got my friends at school who are gonna suck me away from everything that I've heard, and I've tried to be attentive to this. I know what God's word is saying. It's time to get right with him. Stop pushing it off. It's time to get serious. It's time to be done with that. Lord, we come before you, and I thank you, Lord, so much for this time in your word.